the obvious song on here for me, when you think about how Russ started out, it's Caterpillar, right? Mm-hmm. Because it was like, here's you know, you turn into the butterfly. Like, it's something that people look at as this grotesque thing and is able to, you know, metamorphosize into something that's beautiful. And I think, you know, when I think about that song, I think about, obviously, the album and how that relates to just him and his life. He took that situation, like, with his father, you know, his brother going to jail, and all this other stuff, and he turned it into a thing of beauty.
Dead in Hip Hop, as y'all can see, we in the studio. Hey, we chilling, man. Look, this shit coming along, goddamn. But Dead in Hip Hop album review, Royce da 5'9", Book of Ryan. So Royce is he putting in work, huh?
He, like, he, 2 albums in one.
Yeah, huh? Shit, yeah. A month apart. Right. Like, shit. The first thing I want to address on this. Because it hit me before I even knew Royce was dropping this. Caterpillar, the video was super dope. That's number one. But number two, M. Bruh.
Which is why we were so frustrated when we were reviewing Revival.
Because we know he has this album.
We know he has this album.
Hey. You don't get the right to say that shit.
What?
You was like, oh, M is over. M can't do this.
When we did the remix, the Clarissa, he brought it back.
You're right.
He's like, get off my shit.
I'm saying.
He got me quick, too.
He did.
Wait, hold on. No, but you're right.
He tried to body slam you real quick.
Yeah, he did. They gonna break my confidence. Hey, listen to the podcast so you understand the reference. It's inside jokes. And when I watched that video and you just seen, you know, M right here while Royce is just, and then Royce is just chilling with M.
Such a dope concept.
It is. That shit was fucking dope. That shit was ridiculous. Eminem is ridiculous. And you need to stop fucking around and give us a real fucking hip hop album. I'm for real. Yeah. Bro, you're a GOAT. Like, you're a GOAT. And every time you give us little nuggets, and then when we find the fucking album, it's like, what the fuck is this? This tastes like none of these nuggets.
He dropped the album first and then gave us Clarissa the remix. Right. And then you hear him on this, and he's like, damn. If not, at least do another album with Royce, do another Bad Meets Evil 3.
Something in Bad Meets Evil 3. That'd be really dope.
He need to do something. Because it was super dope, but I'm at this point with M, I'm super frustrated. Like, when you give me this shit, and I'm sorry, I know this is a Royce da 5'9" project.
Right.
Let me digress. I'm gonna get back to Royce. Man, Royce, bro, you put in super work. Whoa, super dope. Like, this album, first and foremost, is dope. I think it was a bit long, and I've listened to it a couple of times. And tell me if I'm wrong. Clarify this for me. At the beginning, like half of this is like Royce talking about like all of the stuff that he grew up with and stuff, mm-hmm. right? And then there's a switch, right, where it goes from him and his dad's relationship to him and his son, right?
You gotta read it.
Okay.
Like, I didn't get it either until I read the lyrics, but there was like something about he had a dream to where he was asking his dad these questions, mm-hmm. and his dad said, you can ask anything you want as long as you don't blink. Uh-huh. But then when he blinks, it's him and his son.
Yeah. And then the voices changed on the song that they were having that conversation.
Yeah.
His
son
did. So that's how I picked
it's his up. Son asking him questions.
Yeah.
His son asking him questions. Because he's like, I'm writing this book, and I want, you know, about somebody that I look up to, mm-hmm. but I don't know who you are, so who are you? And I think that's, man. And it was like right when it transitioned into, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
It was like right when it transitioned into to the cocaine. Like, fucking, how powerful is that?
Because,
you know, because it's like, you always hear about, like, people who don't have, you know, the father in their life, whatever. So, like, he's still talking about, like, look, just because I was one of the few guys that had a mother and father household, it was still fucked up.
Yeah,
like, we still have issues, just like someone that don't have a full household family. It's like, I think that was so dope him touching that. And for him to say, like, damn, my dad chose me over cocaine.
Yeah, he got clean for me.
How many scenarios we always hear where the parent or the guardian, you know, the drugs overtakes them and you know, they just lose their child or whatever. And this is like, for him to say, like, damn, my daddy chose me over that. And I think that kind of inspired him to kind of get clean because he's been sober for alcohol 6 years. So it's like, I think that's dope how he kind of brought that back in full circle. Like, you inspire me to get cleaned up because I was an alcoholic and here I am. I got kids and I don't want to lose my kids because of alcohol. And it's like, you did the same thing That shit, man, cocaine was so fucking deep.
Or even the point where, and I think this was on Power, like you hear about like his relationship with his father and his family and
his brothers and stuff. Yeah.
Right.
On holiday, talk about Christmas. On
Christmas.
And on Thanksgiving.
Getting arrested.
Yeah.
Because he slammed his son into the oven. It's like crazy.
Yes.
But the storytelling was so fucking detailed.
Layers was detailed, but this one is just like, damn.
Some other shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because and I remember he was saying like, yeah, this is the most personal. I'm thinking like, damn, what can be more personal than Layers? You know, hearing Tabernacle and all that stuff. Like, but hearing this, I'm like, golly. When it went after that interlude with his son and he started going personal, I was like,
and after so many years, so much music, it's like, how did you not talk about this like already?
He did it backwards.
What do you mean he did it backwards?
Because we've said on this show that typically the first album, or there's a rule of thumb that the first album is easiest.
Yes.
Because it's your story, you can tell your story, and then after that, what do you say afterwards? Mm. Because he's so dope as a rapper and as an artist, he didn't really necessarily have to do that. He could just make songs and rap fucking great. Mm. So now, as he's been in the game for so long, now he can get out and tell the story of Royce da 5'9". Over the years, you've been able to develop your craft and get to the point where you can put out this work and it's just fucking fantastic.
I feel that Royce on this album, you know, because it starts off for me like just Royce ripping shit, you know, woke all of this. But then as you continue to listen to this project and all of the messages, and you really see how fucked up Royce's life really was at this point. In his career, I think you put it best, Ken. He did do it backwards. He came out just as a dope rapper. But now to be able to dig deep, you just feel for him. It's emotional. You know what I'm saying? Now,
how did y'all feel about him singing?
I thought it was great.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
I was
especially on cocaine.
Yeah.
He was fine with it.
Yeah, because I didn't, I mean, I was like, all right, I hear you, Royce.
I don't feel like he was trying to do too much. You know, like he wasn't trying to young thug it or nothing.
He knew his capabilities.
Exactly.
He stuck to him.
I think Bob Lebo was definitely kind of, what?
Your boy J. Cole.
No, he rapped his mind.
No. I'm
about to say it's funny because when I first heard the song, this was the only single I was like, okay, I'm going to listen to the single and I'm going to wait for the album.
That Bob Lebo shit was dope. I heard it when it first came out.
Yeah, when I tweeted, I was like, damn, J. Cole was floating on that Bob Lebo. I said, y'all see what I did there or whatever? But I thought it was interesting that he got J. Cole for that feature because Bablo Island is like such a Detroit place of music. It's a music park. It's a little music park that you take the... you Googled it?
I don't know the fuck it's all about.
but
I did my research.
You have to be from Detroit to like really appreciate
it. You have to have money to be on the Bablo boat? It's not one of those type of things.
Everybody was on that shit. I'm just interested that he had got that feature. It would have been dope, even though Cole killed it. He did a great job on that shit. But like, it would have been dope to have like another Detroit artist on there because I think it's a Detroit thing. Like, it's really a Detroit music park. It's like, damn, J. Cole, you don't know nothing about the Bible boat. Like, why you on this song? Yeah, I thought it was really interesting how
Just can't win, huh, man?
No.
Why you got J. Cole? He ain't from Detroit.
When I saw Bobo Boat featuring J. Cole, I was like, wait a minute. What? That's like if something from your hometown, you'd be like, wait a minute, why is this person talking?
Well, my hometown ain't producing like
no J. Cole,
no music like this.
No, I'm just giving
all we got is Roy Jones. I got you.
So it's like hearing that, but I thought it was dope how it kind of he talked about like his introduction to alcoholism, like how he started drinking. But yeah, I thought Bible Boat was cool, and J. Cole definitely was one of the top features. One of my other favorite joints on here.
So J. Cole was one.
You know what I thought about real quick
on the song,
about that J. Cole?
Yeah, what?
Is that he was rapping over somebody else's beat. I thought about what you said in the J. Cole review. Yeah. If you haven't watched the J. Cole review, go check that out. But he did snap.
He did.
And I was like, that's the J. Cole we need. But anyway,
I thought Outside was a really dope track. Like, I think, you know, for someone that's a father, he's like, he's talking about the things that he's worrying about for his raising his son, that he don't want his father, that his father's made the mistake of him growing up, but he don't want to make the same mistakes his dad did. I thought that was dope. Shout out to Mr. Porter too. He laid some dope beats on this album. He didn't do the whole album, but he did a good chunk of this. But another powerful song too. I mean, he got a lot of powerful songs, but Strong Friend, I thought that was really dope.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was a dope concept.
Waiting for somebody to talk about one of the best tracks on here. Fucking legendary. Legendary had his most, in my opinion, his most impressive performance. Did he pick up the pocket on that beat?
Yeah, his flow scheme was crazy.
The beat, like, I heard the beat and I was like, how is he gonna do this?
Yeah.
He did it.
It made no sense.
Dumb was dope.
Dumb was dope.
Yeah, that Boogie. Who's y'all?
Oh yeah, he's apparently some shady rapper,
right?
Okay.
He's apparently on Shady.
He's nice.
Yeah, he can sing too. Yeah, he can sing and flaw. I was like, damn.
Me either. Not till when I heard this album. I was like, damn, Boogie's all right. Fabulous fucking snap.
Yeah, I thought
Jada was cool.
Jada, you know, man, look, Jada's been on two recent projects. And I always have this theory when especially like the older school rappers, you know, people that we kind of grew up on and stuff, when you start to see their features, they're ramping up to drop something. So I'm definitely looking forward to Jada's stuff. Because he was also on Flatboy Zombies. I know we haven't done that. We may or may not. I don't know. But Jada's verse on this, I don't know, man. Like, those type beats and Jada's voice just, they're so perfect.
Yeah. Stay Woke was incredible.
Stay Woke.
That was the one we had the 444 line.
Yeah.
I'll give you four from this 44, like Hova album.
Yeah.
But that track should have ended the album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even the way he did the skits with the backing tracks and stuff like that. So it was almost like it was spoken word, you know, a bit. So I thought that was dope. Like, I think Ant-Man Wonder did the My Parallel beat. For that skit, that shit was fucking dope. And how he used the skits to tie everything together, somebody on Twitter, which I know we shouldn't listen to Twitter, was complaining about the skits. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Because
like,
they're not paying attention to the story.
It brings the whole story. Yeah,
shut up. So then I think the other thing that I pulled from it that I like, I think it was on Calipiter, how he took the stylings of mumble rap and used that to himself. Like, The way he did the hook, whoever did the hook for Caterpillar, it would definitely sound like something that, that would sound like something that would be kind of trappy, kind of mumble rappish. But he, you know, well, I guess if King Green did it, it's technically not Royce. But the fact is, Royce took that styling and flipped it and made it into something that, I mean, that I think is fucking dope. You know, man, yo text me about this album, and I think it was spot on. If this album had Kendrick's name on it, people would be blowing the fuck up and talking all about this album. But because it's Royce, it's not getting it's getting a lot of attention and praise, but not the attention and praise that it does. And I think people don't really fully understand the quality of work. Like, it's fucking incredible, man. And I just don't understand how people are not recognizing it for what it is. It's baffling to me.
I feel like we've been waiting for this album for fucking ever, and I'm glad that he finally dropped it, and I'm glad it was as good as we all hoped. Like, you said you walked in with low expectations, or no, you said no or no.
Not really,
said,
yeah.
No.
I
walked in with very high expectations, because he's been talking about this album for years.
2 years.
This was his story.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, how is Royce going to do this? Because I've enjoyed everything he's done. But I've been like, man, I've been really waiting for this album. Because, like you said, Royce doesn't really get that personal. Mm-hmm. He really doesn't. Mm-hmm. He just raps very well, but he just raps.
Right.
So to see him put together something like this, where you have an intro, you have Woke, and you have My Parallel, where it's really three jams that are setting the entire album up.
Yep.
Like, he hasn't even really rapped yet by track three. Yep. He's not even rapping yet.
He's just setting the stage.
He's just setting the stage for what you know is about to come.
Yep.
So when you really sit down and listen to this whole thing and you read along to what he's talking about, and you really see it's really just a book of his life put to music. And it's done so incredibly well. But I was gonna say that, like, that's one of the things that I thought is I was like, this is so Good Kid, Mad City. Like, this is Royce's Good Kid, Mad City, his version. And it's just as good, in my opinion. It's just as good. Like, Royce does not do storytelling enough. And I always say some of my favorite Royce material is off of Street Hop. The shit where he's talking about robbing the place and he goes to the hotel.
I always murder,
and then there was another song after that. But because that's my favorite Royce album is Street Hop. But I feel like Royce is very underrated as a storyteller. Everyone's always like, oh, you know, you're one of the spitters. We know you got bars. Yeah, he's got bars, but he's also so fucking creative and intelligent. And he showed all of that on here. Because you have songs where it's like, yeah, Caterpillar's bars. Mm-hmm. Bars for fucking days. Godspeed, bars for days. But songs like Dumb. Songs like you said, Cocaine. Songs like Bablobo. Power. Like, these are such... Strong, and Protecting Ryan. Protecting, like, these songs are so creative and detailed and deep. So it's like he gave you everything you could possibly want on this album. Bars, storytelling, concepts. Mm-hmm. He even sang for y'all motherfuckers.
Right.
So I agree 100% with Yo. This shit should be a lot more popular than it is right now. This is easily one of the best things we've heard this year. And the thing about it is, I can listen to Caterpillar over and over and over and over and over. So I don't remember who said it. Maybe in you. We definitely need another Bad Meets Evil.
Yeah. Yep.
We definitely do. Because God damn it, man. Those two together is just a match made in heaven.
I mean, it's the prime example of Steel Sharpers. Yeah, Steel, when them two get in the booth together, man, like, it's
they
crazy.
Bring out the best in each other.
They do every time.
And,
it's like,
and God damn, like, and I know people were complaining, oh, Am is still talking about poop. So what?
So what?
He's talking about pooping in Jerusalem and Israel. So what?
If he does it like that, he could rap about whatever the fuck he wants to rap about.
I agree.
When he rap like that.
When have we ever known M to not be immature?
Exactly.
So why are y'all surprised? Exactly. But, exactly. I mean, what I want is for them to do a Bad Meets Evil 3 and really be on some fucking battle shit. Because the line he had about... The boom bap is coming back with an axe to murder mumble rap or whatever it was. I was like, is he back to throwing shots finally? I doubt it.
Right.
But can you imagine how much that would shake up the industry?
It needs to.
And Royce and M coming out being like, we're fucking chopping off everybody. He's talking about decapitating motherfuckers in this song.
Yep.
Like, we need this.
For me, my favorite tracks are Woke, Caterpillar, Dumb, Cocaine, Bablo Boat, Legendary, Summer on Lock, and I'll stop there.
I'm gonna say Caterpillar, Godspeed, Cocaine, Legendary, oh, and definitely Stay Woke.
Caterpillar, Legendary, Bablo Boat, Power, Stay Woke, Dumb. I'm gonna keep going. So, that's my favorite.
Caterpillar, Bablo Boat.
Bablo Boat.
You gonna say how you want to.
Right. That's that old man shit.
That is that old man.
Bablo Boat.
Bablo Boat. Bablo Boat.
Yes.
Legendary. Anything, everything, outside.
Shit, Royce. Ain't much I can say. There is no prime for you. I think that line just keeps sticking out to me because that's really where you are. You know what I'm saying? In rap, like, you know, people typically have a peak, then they plateau, then they fall off. You're almost like LeBron. Like, you're just getting better with age and more albums and stuff like that. And, you know, we don't really typically see that in hip hop. So you are definitely an anomaly when it comes to that. But this was an amazing fucking project, bro.
Russ, if you're watching, great album, fantastic album, definitely top 10, top 5 of this year. Not that you couldn't do this, it's just, like, I went in with no expectations and walked away thoroughly impressed. And I loved everything you've done up to this point, so I knew it wasn't going to be whack. I just didn't know it was going to be this. And what I love about it is that it's almost like you tapped into some, like, additional powers.
Royce, you've been one of my favorite fucking MCs since goddamn 90s, and you've never slacked, you've never let me down, and this is easily one of your best albums. And it's amazing that this late in your career, you're still putting out masterpiece material. Not a lot of people can say that.
Yeah, Royce, man, just want to say thank you for this album. You've been blackballed from the label, you've been to jail, you came back, fought through alcoholism, and you still continue to make these great albums, man. And now I'm like, what you gonna do to top this? Like, what are you gonna do? How much more creative can you be on your next album that's gonna be just as good or possibly better than this, man? This is amazing. You've done a great job with this album. Just shit, man. Like, it's just been amazing seeing you grow from like Mike said, from the 90s to this. Like, seeing you out in the Detroit scene just rapping and just killing shit. Just starting off with Eminem to the point you're at now. Like, it's amazing. So kudos, man. Thanks again, and hopefully you're watching this. Hopefully he is.